Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
All right, two quick confessions off the top of the program. You can decide for yourself how serious this is. I'll try to rectify both, but maybe one of them more needing of rectifying than the other. First confession, I told this to our video audience a moment ago. I forgot to draw the winner for the Road to Atlanta t-shirt yesterday, so we'll do that and make sure we give away two tomorrow. I apologize. Also, later on in today's program, we've got a different way we're going to give away Road to Atlanta t-shirt today. I'm trying not to make this too convoluted, but I also kind of want to make it as, I guess, democratic as possible, if that's the right word. I want as many people to be able to participate as we possibly can, so I'm trying to come up with different ways to give away the coveted Road to Atlanta t-shirt, which I do believe is the best-looking t-shirt we've made, and I also think it's a really important idea of solidifying ourselves behind the notion that Georgia's going to do more this season and get back to Atlanta in December and then go even further than it went a year ago. We think those Road to Atlanta t-shirts are a good way of kind of getting us all on the same page about that, so we'll give one away, and I apologize for the clerical error of not drawing the winner from yesterday, but we'll make sure we do that. The problem is, when you leave stuff like this in my hands, there's always a chance it's going to go the wrong direction, and we've got another example of that. Here is the second, I guess, both confession and apology. I titled this show, if you want to look at whether you're watching on video or the podcast or whatever, it says, "The Possible Missing Piece in UGA's National Championship Pursuit." Now, I don't want to be guilty of over-promising and under-delivering, but the honest truth is that there's probably more than just one thing that's going to lead Georgia to a national championship in 2019 that indeed happens. One of the things we've talked about is the need for more deep throws down the field. We've done a lot of shows on that. We've even kind of whittled it down to kind of a statistical thing of, can Georgia find four more pass attempts per game, and can two of those go for completions deeper than 20 yards down the field? If so, we think that could be a missing piece for Georgia in the national championship. But that in itself alone is not going to be enough. The same way as today's thing alone is probably not enough, but it is a really important thing towards heading towards a national championship. And I wanted to start our show today by talking about that. And what's going to lead us into this is some really good reporting that our buddy Mike Griffith has done over the course of the past however many days in Indianapolis at the NFL Scouting Combine. Now, when anything like this happens, it was the same way when the Super Bowl was in Atlanta, and, you know, you get a lot of these NFL reporters there, and NFL reporters are very, very distinguished, and they're very serious, and they're talking a lot about 40 times and shuttle runs, and, you know, the NFL reporters just take their jobs very seriously, and so they're asking a lot of NFL-related questions, but there's always a gaggle of Georgia reporters who kind of want to know UGA-related stuff. So it's always this, like, give and take of NFL guy ask NFL question, and then the Georgia guy's like, hey, what's Dan Lanning going to be like as the new defensive coordinator of Georgia? Well, now, half that room has no idea who Dan Lanning is because, you know, they're too busy, you know, watching the NFL Network all day long. But for the Georgia fan, what a guy like, say, Jonathan Ledbetter, who was at the Combine last week or the last few days, what a guy like that thinks about Dan Lanning is virtually more important than anything that could be said or done about the NFL draft. We hope to see Ledbetter going to make a lot of money, but most of us care more about Georgia than we do about the, you know, NFL draft in the spring or what happens on Sundays in the fall. We are just college football fans. We don't really apologize for that. So with that in mind, Jonathan Ledbetter was asked, hey, what is Dan Lanning's defense going to look like for Georgia this season? Ledbetter's answer, and you can see this from Mike Griffith at DogNation.com. He's written a great piece about this. You can also catch up with this video at the Dog Nation YouTube page. By the way, if you haven't subscribed to the Dog Nation YouTube page, my encouragement will be to do just that. But Ledbetter goes into a pretty, thorough description of the defense under Dan Lanning, and it leads us back to the topic I wanted to start with today, the possible missing piece for Georgia in a national championship. Listen to Jonathan Ledbetter. And this is one of those loud rooms, so you can't hear perfectly everything that he says, but you do get a sense of what Ledbetter thinks Georgia has been missing, what Kirby Smart himself said about that, and where he thinks things could go under Dan Lanning. This is good stuff from Jonathan Ledbetter. Take a listen to this.
A lot of pressures. I think Georgia's going to continue to not necessarily take risks, but, you know, get after it. We always got after it, but, you know, we didn't generate a lot of the sacks that we wanted to every year. And, you know, I think that's something that he's working on, and just the scheme and how the defense is going. And the way Kirby wants it to look, because, you know, towards the end of the year last year, Kirby was like, you know, I want sacks. Y'all go get at it. Y'all go do what y'all do. And I'm definitely expecting, you know, big things from my outside linebacker. There's a lot of talented guys, and definitely on the D-line, too. Everyone's athletic, and they can move.
Listen, that is why Dog Nation is going to be live at things like the NFL Scouting Combine for quotes like that from Jonathan Ledbetter. That's as interesting as anything I've heard from a former Georgia player this offseason. Going so far as to say that Kirby Smart was pushing this team at the end of last year. Come on, guys, we got to have more sacks. We got to have more sacks. We got to have more sacks. That alone is really interesting from Ledbetter on the push they were getting from Kirby Smart to get to the quarterback more. Now, a lot of people are interpreting what Ledbetter says there as, well, that means that Dan Lanning then is going to be a really blitz-happy defensive coordinator. And that's not the way that I take that for a couple of reasons. First of all, Ledbetter himself says the act of pressuring the quarterback more, something that he believes that Dan Lanning's defense is going to do. Ledbetter himself says that doesn't mean we're taking a lot of risks. I think you got to remember that with Ledbetter's own words there, that he says we're not going to take a lot of risks, but we're going to get a lot more quarterback pressures. I think that's interesting stuff from Ledbetter describing Dan Lanning. The other reason why I believe that Ledbetter's claim that Kirby wants more sacks doesn't necessarily mean more blitzing is based on something that Kirby Smart himself has said. If you want to go back to the start of the 2017 season, when Kirby Smart addressed the issue of a pass rush and the need to improve that, Kirby went into pretty good detail before the start of two seasons ago about exactly what his philosophy is when it comes to rushing the passer. So take what Ledbetter just said and what Ledbetter says Kirby Smart was pushing them to do at the end of last season, and compare that with what Kirby Smart has also said publicly on the same subject. I think you get an idea of what Kirby Smart's overarching philosophy is, and maybe what he's going to challenge the young new defensive coordinator Dan Lanning to instill at UGA. Here's Kirby from 2017.
That's one of the big things we've tried to improve. So you can improve your pass rush by bringing more guys, or you can rush four better. And obviously, I like to rush four better than bringing more guys. So we've tried to find ways to do it. But it's not always been exactly what we wanted, what we want to create, but it's certainly improving.
Kirby Smart says it's certainly improving, and if you want to go back and look at that 2017 season, that was indeed the case. In Kirby Smart's first year at Georgia, back in 2016, Georgia had just 29 sacks. But in 2017, the year that would come after that line you just heard from Kirby, they did improve up to 34 sacks that season. Unfortunately for 2018, you kind of go back the other direction again. In fact, it ends up being the low watermark for Kirby so far in his Georgia career in terms of total team sacks at just 24. But what is the recipe for getting better? Well, Jonathan Ledbetter says it's pressuring the quarterback more, but Kirby Smart himself says that doesn't mean rushing with more than four pass rushers. It just means finding four who can rush the pass rusher better. Or I should say rush the passer better, rush the quarterback better. And here's where I think things get to be pretty good news for Georgia fans when you look at this upcoming season. There is, I believe, an incredibly improved level of personnel for this Georgia roster. Maybe across the board, this is probably the most talented team that Kirby Smart's coached at Georgia. Maybe pound for pound, composite speaking, the most talented Georgia roster of all time. But the place you may see that in particular is at that outside linebacker position, the place where your pass rush generally kind of comes from more so than anything else. And it may be in particular a guy like Nolan Smith, arguably the top prospect in the country from the class of 2019. And when Jeff Sintel caught up with Nolan at the beginning of the year back in San Antonio ahead of the All-American Bowl, the high school football all-star game, Nolan made it very clear about what he's coming to Georgia to do. Ledbetter says Dan Lanning's defense is going to have more quarterback pressures. Well, part of the reason why is because of better overall pass rushers. One of those guys may be Nolan Smith, and Nolan's already said he plans on taking the field with his ears pinned back, ready to get after a passer. Here's Nolan from January.
I want to rush the passer, and I really feel good rushing the passer. I got two sacks today in the first quarter before they start chipping me in, and I just feel like that's something I'm made to do, and I love rushing the passer, sacking the quarterback. Now, I can play inside linebacker if they need me to play, but that's not what I'm going there for.
Come on now. I mean, how much do you love that? I love rushing the passer. That's what I'm going to Georgia to do. I like to hear that from Nolan Smith, and you could hear some of the same kinds of things from Jermaine Johnson and others, including some of the second-year guys, Adam Anderson, Brenton Cox, who are going to be part of this conversation as well. And if you want to kind of circle this back to where we all started about the idea that sacks quarterback pressures in the backfield more. That could be the missing piece of a national championship for Georgia. I think the numbers themselves kind of speak for themselves. I mean, if you go back and look at last season, it's probably not a huge surprise to find out that the reigning national champion led the country in sacks a year ago with 54. But you've also got the national runner-up of Alabama, who is fifth in the country at 45. Not every team in that sack category was a, you know, a perennial national championship contender, but the two teams that played for the national championship both had more than 45. Clemson had 54. You've also got like teams like Ohio State and whatnot in the top 10. That's the place where Georgia kind of hasn't been yet. The Georgia defense thus far under Kirby Smart has been really, really good, but maybe not truly elite, maybe not great yet. I believe the pass rush has been the missing piece in that equation. But if you listen to Jonathan Ledbetter, he says under Dan Lanning, that's going to change. Maybe it's the better personnel that helps that change. One thing's for sure, I, speaking on behalf of Georgia fans, cannot wait to see it play out. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily. We are the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, and we are really happy to have you a part of the program today. No matter how you get to us, live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, the YouTube page, the Twitter feed. We're on the radio at noon every day with our friends in the Classic City on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. And we are available as a podcast pretty much wherever podcasts can be found, including the world-famous DogNation.com. And you're going to want to remember that DogNation.com podcast post for later on today's show. We do another Road to Atlanta t-shirt giveaway. We've got that coming up in just a couple of moments. Let me also remind you here really quickly about our friends from Kroger and a great thing they have going on right now. Did you know that you can order all your favorite items from Kroger Ship and have them delivered right there to your door? It's free shipping plus 15% off your first order when you use the code SHIP15. Use the code SHIP15 and then go to the website ship.kroger.com to start your shopping. That's ship.kroger.com. The promo code is SHIP15. It's free shipping plus 15% off your first order. You're going to want to check that out. All right, we got a lot of recruiting stuff to get into in just a couple of minutes. Our buddy Jeff Sintel is going to be here for our Marlowe's Tavern Tell-All. Carson Beck, Justin Roberts, and the latest on both of those recent UGA commits. We'll do all of that with Jeff Sintel in just a little bit. But before that, I told you that Mike Griffith, boy, he really has had a productive time out in Indianapolis for the scouting combine. A lot of Georgia guys were there. Mike was on hand to get some coverage from them. We do wish all those guys well as they move on to the NFL, but I won't apologize for feeling them around here. The stuff involving UGA and what these guys have to say about their time at UGA is, to me, just more fascinating and just more interesting. I thought Jonathan Ledbetter's insight on the need to rush the passer better, what Kirby Smart had told them about that, and what he thinks Van Lanning's going to do, that's pretty good stuff right there. That's the kind of thing that'll get a Georgia fan talking, a pretty fun offseason conversation, all kind of spurred along by Jonathan Ledbetter's words. But it wasn't just that that was interesting from Mike at the Combine. You should read everything that he's written at DogNation.com, a lot of good quotes. Another one that I kind of found fascinating was, Mike asks DeAndre Baker, kind of near the end of a long press conference, so what about these black jerseys at Georgia? Fans care about this kind of stuff. What about the black jerseys? Did y'all want to wear them? And I love the honesty from DeAndre Baker on this. I think this is really interesting. Here is Mike's exchange with Baker on the desire to wear the black jerseys and why Georgia never seems to. Listen to this.
Did you guys ever lobby to wear those more often?
We want to wear the black jerseys every week, but we didn't get a chance to.
You think Kirby will ever let that thing go, or will we see that anytime soon?
Never. No time soon.
I love the laugh there at the end from Baker. I don't understand what this is about. I think it is interesting to hear that DeAndre Baker said, we wanted to wear the black jerseys every single week. But he says that he doesn't think Kirby Smart's ever going to let Georgia wear them. Now, what complicates this even more is, and if you watch on video, you see this, we show all these pictures from the Georgia guys taking their visits. A lot of these guys put this stuff on social media. Listen, every single one of these pictures from every single one of these visits, it's the black jerseys on every single recruit that comes to campus. I've joked before, it's almost like the black jersey has become the dress blues of Georgia football, the kind of thing that you wear for ceremonial purposes, but not necessarily for combat purposes. I don't really understand this. Baker seems to think that it's never going to happen for Georgia again, despite the fact that they remain incredibly popular with the current players and undeniably popular with future Georgia players as well. So I don't really know what to make of this. I do know it became a little bit of a topic before the Auburn game this year in honor of the original blackout against Auburn in 2007. Maybe a return of the blackout for the 2018 Auburn game. Kirby Smart was asked about it, and so help me. It's really hard to decipher some of this stuff, but he kind of hemmed and hawed about why Georgia's not going to do it. Here's Kirby again.
We did it a couple years ago against somebody. I think it was one of the to buy teams or something, and really for energy and enthusiasm. I don't think you need energy and enthusiasm for Auburn. If we can't get up for Auburn, then we've got some other problems, and we got to be excited to play. And I just don't think that's not relevant to me. It's not. I'm not saying that we're not ever going to do it. I'm not saying that we are. That's just not really what's important to me. That's just me. I believe in the guys going out and playing physical, playing hard, and you don't have to do things like that to get them fired up to do it. I really think they should want to do it. It was great for recruiting. So
like, here's my kind of opinion on this. I'm, as many of you know, like 1,000 years old. I'm one of these big believers that Georgia is cool because it only has two uniforms, the silver breeches with white on the road, the red and silver at home. So, like, I am absolutely a kind of dyed-in-the-wool traditionalist on most of this stuff. But my opinion on the black jerseys has evolved somewhat. Kirby Smart says there that he doesn't like the idea of the jerseys being a motivational ploy. At this time, I think this has been out there long enough now that it's not really a motivational ploy anymore. If you listen to DeAndre Baker, he's not saying, oh, the players want to wear them because it gets them fired up. They just think they look better. They just think it's a better overall fashion statement, the black contrast with the red helmet. So at this point in time, you know, Kirby's concern about this being a motivational ploy, which is a thing that I would also share. I think, unfortunately, Mark Richt pushed that button too many times in his Georgia career. That doesn't seem to be quite as much of an issue anymore. So, maybe Kirby's concerns about holding these back, maybe that's not quite worth it. But it's a big deal to fans. Apparently the Georgia players wanted to wear them too. But as we know, this is a Kirby's program right now. And as of now, he is saying no to this. So we'll see how that changes maybe in 2019. All right, later on, I've got a Road to Atlanta t-shirt to give away, a fun way to do it today, and a topic we need to get into a little more deeply. We'll do that, but as many of you want, it's time to get some recruiting info from my buddy Jeff Sintel. It's also good to have you with us on Dog Nation Daily as well.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Marlowe's Tavern Tell All with our recruiting insider Jeff Sintel. And speaking of inside information, if you want some on the Marlowe's Tavern in your neighborhood, the way to do that is become a Marlowe's insider. Text the word Marlowe's, no apostrophe, just M-A-R-L-O-W-S, to this number, 24242. And you can become a Marlowe's insider today. Jeff Sintel, good morning to you. Before we get into the recruiting stuff, and I want to do a lot of that with you, would you agree with me that at this point in time, we were just talking about black jerseys before you joined us based on what DeAndre Baker said at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, that if Kirby's got a concern about this being used as a motivational ploy, at this point in time, are we kind of past that? It seems like the players themselves just want this as a fashion statement. I don't think any of them believe they'll play better because of it. I think that's something that kind of got left in the Mark Richt era. But it certainly seems like, according to DeAndre Baker's words, he doesn't think Kirby's ever going to let go on this, no matter how much recruits like them.
It'd be funny, Brandon. That's a big LOL for me on that subject this morning. What would they wear for recruiting visits if the black jerseys were, like, standard issue wear for a Georgia football player? I mean, I don't know. It kind of goes back to that thing you've discussed a lot on your show where you don't want to make it, blow up the moment and make any game is bigger than they are, external factors, yada, yada, yada. I think the quick way to solve this is maybe designate games at the beginning of the year as a black jersey game, or even simply, hey, say non-conference games are now black jersey games. Conference games are red jersey games.
Yeah.
That would be very quick way to do it.
I think that's a really good idea, and I think it would also be kind of funny. Like you said, recruits love the black jerseys. What would they wear if for their recruiting visits? I actually think it would be kind of funny at this point in time, considering the fact that it's almost like the recruit pictures themselves have become a little bit of a troll effort to Georgia fans because they wonder why they don't get to see those on the field. If Georgia, for its recruiting pictures, did become like Oregon, where you started seeing recruits wearing like shiny silver chrome helmets and like black pants and, you know, every different kind of jersey under the sun, just as a way of trolling fans even more because come fall Saturdays, they don't wear any of that garb on the field. I actually think if Georgia went even further with that, it might be kind of funny.
Two funny moments with that, Brandon. Number one, what if Georgia can just tout itself as the only school that has an official recruiting visit uniform, which is the black jersey, which is better probably, arguably, or at least more popular than any other jersey combination the kids might wear. The other funny thing is I'd love to one day write a story about the setup and organization of that, I guess, closet tree or that, you know, locker area where recruits can grab jerseys and go take their pictures. I would imagine, Brandon, that the ratio of jerseys they set aside for all these dudes is probably like 50% black, 25% or 30% red, and then the white jersey, maybe 10%. Because I mean, this is like the unicorn of a Georgia recruiting visit. When you see a guy in a white jersey, if that's the one they take and that's the one they pop off all over social media, it says to me they didn't have a triple XL or they didn't have a small for a kicker or they didn't have what they needed in the black or the red togs right there.
Yeah, you may be right about that. All right, let me get into some of the recruiting stuff because it was a busy weekend for Georgia. I loved your piece evaluating Carson Beck as a player, and you were kind of joking about this in the comment section on video yesterday. I mean, listen, I wish I could be a better person than this, but my favorite thing about Beck initially is the fact that it seems like Georgia's taking him from Florida. Florida fans are very upset about this, and that's kind of enough for me in early March to kind of tide me over and kind of get me through another week while we wait for spring practice to begin, just knowing that Georgia's done something to make Florida mad. But beyond that, when you look at Beck as a player, there is a lot to like here, and I love the way that your piece at DogNation.com kind of dove into Beck as kind of a cerebral guy, a guy who really seems to have a real wherewithal when it comes to understanding what's happening on the field. I hope people check that piece out for themselves at DogNation.com. But beyond the recruiting soap opera part, which is really entertaining, give us your thoughts on Carson Beck as a player and how he kind of fits into this 2020 picture for Georgia right now.
So first of all, like most of the recruiting industry kind of felt, you know, Beck was kind of betrothed or tethered to Florida. It really happened so fast when the offer happens and it creates an initial visit. What kind of bird dogs my eyes a little bit is when a spur-of-the-moment offer happens and then a off-the-heels of that offer, a quick visit is scheduled. That's highly interesting there. I guess I'll do two things here, and I'm going to try and provide a little balance to, I guess, an example here for in Brandon's world of Kirby Smart walking through the high school hallways and giving a wedgie to Dan Mullen again, or maybe stepping him into a trash can or a locker. But a couple things I'll think about here. Maybe I'll give the good first. The good here is simply this. Carson Beck's about 6'4 and a half, about 230. He led his team in Mandarin in Jacksonville to an 8A state championship in Florida. That's definitely big boy football there. That program was coming off a 2-8 season the year prior, threw 3,500 yards, 39 touchdowns, 8 picks, completed about 59% of his balls. I'd like to see a little higher rate for that, especially for a kid that's seen as a cerebral, knows every formation. I think a great piece by the Athletic touted him as a walking offensive coordinator. That's all good and all. I'd still like to see high school quarterbacks that earn that Drew Brees in training status to complete around 60-65% of his balls. But then with Carson Beck, you also give him credit for 5 touchdowns and 0 interceptions in the 8A state championship game. Maybe a question Brandon would have for me is something like, you know, quarterback, he's number 3 this year. Can he be a 5-star? Yes. I think maybe Carson Beck, and I've kind of checked down this with a lot of other guys that I trust. We kind of all feel that Carson Beck, if he was the type of player that came out last cycle in the 2019 cycle, might have even been the number 1 or number 2 quarterback in the class. That's just maybe a tip of the hat to Bryce Young and also a tip of the hat to DJ Uiagalelei. But the thing here with Beck, though, and this is where I'm going to say, hold on, guys, lean in real close. Brandon, don't pound the table too hard, but I want to say this. Quarterbacks are a very fickle sort. I mean, Carson Beck, of all things, was actually committed to Florida at one time to play baseball. Now he's given up baseball. But I will say this. He was going to Alabama. Dan Enos left. A lot of the coaches he liked at Alabama left. That situation changed. And let's be very real here. We're very real here, friend. If a quarterback can decommit and leave Alabama, he can just as well decommit and leave Georgia as well. Need to see some roots get put down. I think I think Connor Riley had a fabulous story with all the parallels. He even dug even farther and found the March 3rd parallel with Carson Beck and Jay Fromm. The one difference between these two is there is with Carson Beck growing up in Duval County, he did like Georgia a lot. He did like Florida a lot. The thing with Fromm, though, he was a diehard Georgia boy, Georgia fan for his entire life, and that's the sort of thing that transcends a lot of recruiting elements that most people usually write about, most people usually talk about.
So if you're going to highlight the fact that Beck himself has other options potentially, how about Georgia itself? Because, you know, we came into the month of March thinking it might be Robbie Ashford watch. I'm assuming that Beck's presence changes that. You mentioned DJ Uiagalelei a little earlier. I guess it's always been thought that Clemson was the leader there. Maybe this is an example of Georgia knowing it's not really in it for him. Does this end Georgia's recruitment of other quarterbacks?
Well, I would think Georgia would like to do some Brandon Adams shopping and add Robbie Ashford and Carson Beck to the 2020 class, but I just don't know if that's realistic. I don't know if a lot of schools will see it that way because, I mean, Carson Beck, when you look at him on film, Brandon, he has a lot of polish. He has a lot more, you know, big-time experience. He has a lot of good experience, and he shows a lot more polish than even some guys that Georgia's recruiting, Kobe Criswell, Robbie Ashford, guys of that nature. So, you know, the thing there is with Carson Beck is he's the type of guy that I think establishes some real momentum for Georgia having a hype quarterback pipeline. I think the ESPN future quarterback power ranking will once again be kind to Georgia as they kind of have now a clear succession plan where Carson Beck is a guy that can start multiple years at Georgia. I personally don't know if Dwan Mathis or Stetson Bennett are that type of guy in the succession plan beyond Fromm. There's also some really, really incredible quarterbacks in the 2022 class already in the state of Georgia. I think Georgia will have the state of Georgia and its recruiting evaluators will have to think really hard about is it going to be that gentleman Gunnar Stockton out of Raven County or Zach Roseman out of Walton? Of course, that's 2022 and everybody's so far ahead with that one. One thing I'll think about, Brendan, because you did mention DJ spending all those touchdowns coming out of California. I would like to just think about this, folks, and just to kind of, you know, audience, you know, folks, just get used to this. Clemson's going to have some major momentum in this class. They're going to get a lot of dudes. They might get Dabo's biggest recruiting class ever. We've said this before on our websites and our forums and our shows where perhaps Georgia's biggest recruiting rival, especially because they got a lot of head-to-heads here, is not with Alabama. It's going to be with Clemson for a lot of guys, especially three or four really high-profile guys. And I think Clemson is going to do very well at receiver and quarterback in this 2020 class as well.
It's our Marlowe's Tavern. Tell all with Jeff Sintel here on Dog Nation Daily. Become a Marlowe's insider by texting the word Marlowe's, M-A-R-L-O-W-S, to 24242. You can find out about big events and special offers happening right there at the Marlowe's in your neighborhood. I don't want to talk about quarterbacks the entire time, but I do want to ask you one more thing before we move on and look at some different subjects. And I guess this is, I don't know, I feel like I have to ask this. Is Georgia's experimenting with dual threat quarterbacks now over? I mean, because Carson Beck certainly feels a lot like Jake Fromm, and some of the future names that you mentioned, they kind of feel to me kind of like that same vein. Is Georgia out of the dual threat business now?
No, I think what Georgia's in the business of is getting a quarterback that can go up on the whiteboard and do a lot of things that kind of make that gift face from Kirby Smart with the popcorn from the Harrison High football game last year. I think that's what they're looking for, that quarterback that can think the position really well, know where to go with the football, can squeeze it into tight windows. And, you know, one other thing I'm sure you touched on it with all the scouting coverage over the last couple of days, Brandon, is watching the NFL combine, and goodness gracious, Isaac Nauta has been a great Georgia Bulldog. He has been a willing three-year starter. He has lived up to the hype as a five-star tight end recruit. But maybe, just maybe, that clocking there in the 40-yard dash shows that, you know, this is something I've been hearing on the recruiting trail for a while, is Georgia wants a guy with a little bit more giddy up, a little bit more acceleration to create space and create, you know, green grass downfield between trailing defenders and trailing coverage guys. I think they want to get more, a little bit more sports car sports car speed at the tight end spot rather than maybe a Humvee and a steady, reliable Humvee, which is what, you know, Isaac Knott has done. And, you know, he's going to go on to a great pro career as well. But that's one of those things out of the Scott scouting combine that made me think a little bit. And then you also have Arik Gilbert. We talked about that guy a lot in the 2020 class, but also another five-star out of Las Vegas, Nevada. That's Darnell Washington, who races the nation's number two athlete. Could probably play defensive end or tight end, but he's another five-star prospect that came to Georgia this weekend and also had a very good time.
Jeff, I think that's a really interesting look at what the future of that position could be. And, boy, it was certainly interesting to see Washington on campus this week, and also interesting to see Carson Beck already kind of recruiting him and working on him, at least based on some of that social media activity. Let me do a couple other things before we let you go here. Beck was not the only commitment that Georgia got this weekend. Also, Justin Robinson, the four-star receiver from Eagles Landing Christian Academy. We talked about him on Friday. To your credit, Jeff, you said, hey, watch out for Robinson. That's a guy that you thought should be in everyone's mock class. And then the next day, he commits to Georgia. You also talked a lot about what some of your sources have been telling you about why Robinson's more than just a guy that'll play wide receiver. He can really excel at that position. If you don't mind, and obviously we've had some fun with that because you kind of brought up a pretty big name in terms of comparison on that. If you don't mind, just kind of give us a thumbnail sketch on what you think Robinson brings the table. You got a great piece up with him, a couple good pieces up with Robinson over the last couple of days. So just kind of give us your thumbnail on this other addition to Georgia's 2020 class.
Yeah, one thing I'm going to try to do here is, you know, recruiting timing never works well for the reporter, and I guess probably never well for the reader as well. Justin Robinson commits on Saturday night while I'm actually at the podium kind of emceeing an event for kickers and punters. And, you know, that was kind of one of those things where he didn't plan it that way, but he took a visit to Notre Dame, and then the following weekend, Cortez Hankton just said, hey, come on up for junior day. His parents couldn't make it, so he came with a couple of his Elka teammates at Eagles Landing Christian, and all of a sudden he just felt some type of way to go ahead and commit. And that one happened, and then the next day, Carson Beck, you heard really a lot of great things about Georgia after that visit regarding Carson Beck, and he goes ahead and commits. So everybody wants to hear about the quarterbacks, and they all want to hear yada, yada, yada about the quarterbacks. But made a point on Monday to kind of put some things together about Justin Robinson because I didn't want this commitment to go unnoticed or even in any way eclipsed in the 2020 class because Robinson, 6'4", 210, 37-inch vertical. He ran a 4.5 on the laser for Georgia at that speed. The things I really like about, from a scouting aspect with Robinson is you talk to a lot of people, and the one thing he already does very well is make the tough catches. Make the tough catches. Can I say that again? Make the tough catches. If you want to have a Bulldog receiver that's 6'4", that already will block his fanny parts off. That's what his coach told me. He gave him a 10 on the blocking rating. And then you can add all those things together, a 6'8" wingspan, 6'4", 210, 4'5", 37, 38-inch vertical, but also have spider webs for hands. I mean, I'm talking about Peter Parker on a good day kind of hands for this dude. The Velcro fingers, that's what Georgia has just received a commitment from in Justin Robinson.
Well, that's an exciting thing to think about, Jeff. Hey, I don't know if we're allowed to do this or not. Can we give a tiny preview of what you've got coming today at DogNation.com? Because a pretty big name was also at Georgia this weekend. Sounds like you've had a chance to catch up with him. Are we ready to talk about this yet or not, or is this all a secret?
Nah, man. It's up on the site right now. It's just a story about Mikael Sherman. Mikael Sherman dropped the true family vibe line as a description in talking about Georgia. Georgia has consistently been right there with Georgia, right there with Georgia and Mikael Sherman, recruiting him very hard. He's a guy that's, you know, sooner or later, maybe we'll do this on Before the Hedges, but we'll get around to telling that really good Todd Gurley story regarding Mikael Sherman. But had another great visit. He's back and forth now about what his timeline looks like. He spoke about maybe how Dan Lanning has really maybe stood out so far in his recruitment, the way Georgia has recruited his family, what type of family person he is. So I know this seems run-of-the-mill, guys, but there's another story with some good things about the University of Georgia and a five-star linebacker in the 2020 class. I hope it doesn't get repetitive because there's another one that really had another great trip to Athens.
I cannot wait to read about that with Mikhail Sherman at DogNation.com, and I hope that everybody will check out that piece. Jeff, really quickly before we let you go, you mentioned Darnell Washington a moment ago. You obviously just referenced Mikhail Sherman, who was on campus too. Anything else from this busy weekend that we need to know? A lot of attention gets paid to the two commits with good reason, but beyond that, any other kind of recap from what looks like a loaded time for Georgia this past weekend in Athens? Anything else you want to make sure that we're aware of before we say goodbye?
Brandon, we never say goodbye. We say until the next D&D. But I'm going to say this. There's probably I know you would like for me to start stealing about silent commitments or something like that, but I would say this. I'm just going to simply say this. This might have been a weekend, especially if the Carson Beck commitment holds, and it is what it currently seems like it is, very much on the surface. This might be the weekend that kind of goes down with that scavenger hunt for the 2019 class and maybe even the ribbon-cutting day for the 2019 class for the West End Zone, where I think those are two pretty seismic days for Georgia recruiting, or at least seismic weekends for Georgia recruiting. It is at least a very good early start to the 2020 class.
And what's even better about that is if this date does go down to be remembered like the way you just said, it's a great chance for us to recap that some more tomorrow as well as a part of Before the Hedges presented by Kroger. Jeff, I can't wait for that. A chance for even more recruiting talk tomorrow afternoon at 3 p.m. on the Dog Nation video channels and now available as a podcast as well. Really looking forward to that. Thanks for your time today as a part of our Marlowe's Tavern tell-all. We appreciate your coverage of the weekend. Really good stuff. We'll read about you with Mikhail Sherman coming up a little later on, and we'll chat here again on Dog Nation Daily very soon as well.
Hey, Brandon, good luck giving away a package deal of T-shirts today, man.
I'll do my best.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
All right, so a lot with Jeff's intel there, but one thing from me, I have to admit, stood out more than anything else, and I'm sure he loves it when I kind of put a microscope on every single word that he says and kind of parse every syllable in his phrasing there. Could not help but notice, though, that Jeff did leave the door open for a Carson Beck decommitment from Georgia. And that's not exactly what I expected him to say about that, but obviously Jeff kind of pumping the brakes on what was a very quick courtship with Beck taking the visit and committing to Georgia. And as Jeff was speaking, I jotted down, I guess, three examples that make this at least worth paying attention to. You want to go back to Emory Jones, longtime Ohio State commit, eventually ends up signing with Florida. Matt Corral, longtime Florida commit, or not longtime, but he was a Florida commit who ends up signing with Ole Miss. Tate Martell, Texas A&M commit at one point in time. He ends up signing with Ohio State. Now he's at Miami, and you know who knows where he's going after that. So there are some, I guess, recent examples of quarterbacks who you know have that commitment for a while, end up signing somewhere else. I think the takeaway on this is that Jeff said that for Beck, he needs to put down some roots at Georgia. And what I think this means is, for those of you that like Beck, I have grown to like him pretty quickly. That's one of those things we'll watch for. How much other Twitter activity do we see of him reaching out to guys like Darnell Washington? How many other unofficial visits does he take to Georgia? You know, for a guy that you know lives in that Duval County, Jacksonville area, that's not you know super far away. You know, he can get up to Athens, and it shouldn't be too costly to do so. You got to see a lot of examples of that. Think about the Helinski that ended up signing with South Carolina last year. That was one of those things where a lot of schools really came after him hard. Ohio State comes after him hard. Notre Dame, I think, at one point in time, really got you know involved with him. Maybe there was some thought that Georgia might try to circle back with him, too. I don't know if that happened or not, but I was pushing for that for a while. But he never really wavered from that South Carolina pledge at all, and one of the reasons why recruiting experts like Jeff Sintel kind of had a little bit of insight that he was not going to do that is because on his own dime, he just kept going back to South Carolina on those unofficial visits. So if you want to see Jeff's example of what needs to happen, roots growing for Carson Beck at Georgia, it's those unofficial visits on his own dime, and I you know, I hate the fact that he's got to pay his own way, but that's just the rules that are in place in the NCAA. See that unfold. That'll give you an idea of how things are growing with Carson Beck when it comes to Georgia. All right, SEC through time before we do our Road to Atlanta giveaway. We talked about Nick Starkle yesterday. He took a long visit to Arkansas. He is now committed to Arkansas. I think this is a pretty big get. I think this really changes, for me, the forecast for Chad Morris at Arkansas. They recruited so badly for the class of 2018 that I thought that Morris was probably at the top of the list for SEC coaches who were going to flame out and get fired, especially for those programs who are kind of rebooting themselves all at the same time. Bielema out at Arkansas, McElwain out at Florida, Jones out at Tennessee. For a lot of those programs who were looking for that reboot, it certainly seemed like Arkansas was just, you know, way out in the wilderness because they just had no talent coming in for that class of 2018. All of a sudden, now things feel different. Remember, Chad Morris, before being SMU head coach, was Clemson's offensive coordinator for quite some time. So this is a competent quarterbacks coach. This is a guy who knows how to work with QBs, and now he's got one in Starkle. And if I'm correct about this, I believe he's got him for two seasons. So there's a chance to develop something there, but this is also a much better 2019 class than it was in 2018. I think it's really funny to see all the attention paid to Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee. He was on the Feinbaum show again yesterday. Dan Mullen in Florida, they're going to get a lot of attention. Watch for Arkansas, though, actually, to borrow Butch Jones' phrase, truly building this thing brick by brick right now. Arkansas is going to be much, much better in the future because of some of the work that Chad Morris is doing. I feel very differently about that program now, based on some of the actions as of late. I think that Starkle is a real find for them in the quarterback position. This is a pretty good job. On a more serious subject and not on good news, a horrible tornado rips through Lee County in Alabama. That's right near the Alabama-Georgia border. I know there's some Georgia folks in West Georgia that have had to deal with this as well, the Cairo area, for instance. But a lot of damage being done in that Alabama region near the Auburn campus, Lee County. My understanding is that last check, there are about 25 people who have lost their life due to this. This is a sad thing. But you've already seen the Auburn folks stepping up, even the University of Alabama as well. A lot of, you know, folks around the Tuscaloosa area, Tuscaloosa businesses, they're stepping up to support this too, which is a great thing to see. Unfortunate set of circumstances for the state of Alabama to be dealing with a horrendous tornado once again, but that is the case. And obviously our hearts and prayers and thoughts and everything else go out with the folks there and for the folks there in West Georgia who are also dealing with this as well. On a much lighter note, let me do a couple of other things here before we do Road to Atlanta. First of all, Tennessee hosts Mississippi State tonight. This is after throttling Kentucky the other day. You know, we don't talk a ton of college basketball around here just because our audience mostly wants to hear football. But Tennessee's a big Georgia rival, and as we get closer to March, the Vols start to look a lot more like a real team. The Vols start to look a lot more like a team that can make some noise come March. Rick Barnes is not someone I typically think of as a great coach, but let's face it, he's done a pretty good job at Tennessee this year. I'm a little curious, do Dawg fans even care about this? Or is this the kind of thing that's on a Georgia fan's radar whatsoever to root against Tennessee having success? We know what would happen if the Vols were on the verge of some football success. There'd be a lot of folks cheering against them. I'd be a little curious to find out how that plays out when it comes to the basketball situation, but that is going to go on. You can reach out to me at DogNationDaily on Twitter if you want to respond to that. Let me also give credit to the SEC baseball here. 11 teams ranked in the most recent top 25. That is a pretty good performance by the SEC baseball. And then before we close up the SEC through, I do want to show you this. Drew Butler, former guest here on Dog Nation Daily, former Georgia punter. On Twitter, I saw this. He had a pretty funny picture out there. This may be an example of cheering for too many teams. So if you're watching on video, you can obviously see this. If you're not, I'll have to describe it to you. So here's a pickup truck with a Florida license plate. And then on the back of the bed of the truck or the gate of the truck, you've got an Alabama chrome logo, a South Carolina chrome logo, and what looks to also be a Georgia chrome logo, though I guess there's a chance at the Green Bay Packers. This looks to be four different SEC teams being cheered for by one person there on that. That's more of a roulette strategy than an actual, I guess, rooting interest when it comes to the SEC. That's pretty odd stuff there, but kind of funny from Drew Butler on Twitter. And with that, we'll make that your SEC through. All right, here on Dog Nation Daily, as I said before off the top of the program, I did want to apologize because I did not draw the winner of our Road to Atlanta t-shirt giveaway from yesterday. We were asking for picks of people being subscribed to our podcast and the Apple Podcast Player. I will do that drawing today, and I will announce that winner tomorrow. So tomorrow we'll announce two winners of our Road to Atlanta t-shirt giveaway. I apologize for that. Today's Road to Atlanta t-shirt giveaway is going to be a little different, though. I'm going to try to make this different over the course of time just to make it fun for the audience and give everybody kind of a chance to participate. And there are a couple things here around Dog Nation that we want to do really well and really in a fun way in 2019. And the Road to Atlanta t-shirt giveaway gives us a chance to do that. So let me set up today's this way. Yesterday here on the program, pretty fascinating conversation with Chip Towers on the subject of the possibility that one day the field at Sanford Stadium might be named for Vince Dooley. Chip went into detail about why he thinks that's something that needs to happen. I want you to see this and hear this for yourself. Here is Chip's take on why this is something that needs to be done. Here's Chip from yesterday.
When Vince Dooley showed up in December of 1963, Sanford Stadium set 35,000 people. In fact, that first season in 1964, they added 7,500 or so temporary seats in what is now the East End Zone to bring it to like 43,000 for the first game in 1964. As we all know, Sanford Stadium now seats 93,000, and most of that is because of Vince Dooley, either because of Georgia winning six SEC championships, certainly winning the 1980 national championship indirectly led to the enclosure of the east end of the stadium in 1981, which really brought it up to, I think at the time, was 82,000 seats. And the bottom line is, I definitely think at the very least, it should be duly filled at Sanford Stadium.
So that's Chip Towers saying why he thinks the field ought to be renamed in Dooley's honor because of the impact that Dooley has had on the growth of Sanford Stadium over the years. I think that Chip lays that out in a really interesting way. I'll also invite you to check out what Coach Dooley himself had to say about this on Sunday in Chip's piece at DogNation.com. Dooley's obviously flattered by the honor. He's not going to campaign for this, even if the honor is due him. He's not going to say that, but you ought to read the piece from Chip from Sunday at DogNation.com. You can listen to yesterday's edition of Dog Nation Daily to hear more about this. But here is how this ties into the Road Atlanta t-shirt giveaway for today. Here's what I want you to do. We post our show every single day as a podcast at theworldfamousdognation.com. I'd like for you to go into the podcast post today and down at the bottom of the comment section. I'd love for you to respond about whether you think that Coach Dooley ought to have his name on the field at Sanford Stadium. Some Georgia fans say, no, I want to leave this just Sanford Stadium. One name's enough. Other Georgia fans say, no, we really believe in Coach Dooley's legacy at Georgia. We want to see him get that honor. I'd be curious to hear from you. Your thoughts on this one way or another aren't going to win you the t-shirt. I'm simply going to look at all the comments that are there, and I'm going to draw someone's name to be the winner on that. Because one of the things we want to do over the course of our year here around Dog Nation is to make the program as fully interactive as we possibly can. People get a chance to talk to us live on video every day. We do our R.S. Andrews cooldown, but we want to have more opportunities for comments even after the show's off the air. This is an example of a way we can do that, and we're going to honor somebody today with a Road to Atlanta t-shirt for our comment section there, so please check that out at theworldfamousdognation.com. When we post the show, it'll be up around noon or 12:30 or so. Go in there, put your thoughts in there. We'll draw out a name, and that person will win a Road to Atlanta t-shirt. Do you think that the field ought to be renamed for Vince Dooley? Love to hear your thoughts on that. Let me also say it's been 857 days since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten the Georgia Bulldogs. It's our Gator Hater Update. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on Dog Nation Daily. And on